I'd like to ask if you would, if you'd turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it appears that there's somewhat of a revival going on in, I don't know, what do you want to call it, Hollywood? We've had Kanye West has gone from living the life of an immoral superstar to being a preacher, and we're seeing a lot of good fruits come out of that. Justin Bieber has been following suit, and you're hearing about various people in sports and the music world turning to Christ, and that's exciting. It's always exciting when anybody turns to Christ. And that's a good thing, because it seems like for the past bunch of years, it seems like the cause for which we live has been taking steps backwards. It seems like our discouraging stories have been many and our encouraging stories have been few. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this particular scripture that we're going to look at here this morning and answering the questions, you know, what would the Lord want for us now? And let's start off in chapter 6. And I'm going to begin a little bit before where my main focus is going to be. I want to begin with verse 3. But my main focus is going to be verse 11 and following. It says, start with verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrine, he does not and does not agree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the truth and have pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you were made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Well, as I was thinking about things, I was thinking, well, wouldn't it just be amazing if truly there was a revival and lots and lots and lots of people turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? That would be a great thing. You know, for the past, 20 years, we've seen a steady drop in the number of people that consider themselves Christians in the United States. We've seen an increase in agnostics, increase in atheists, and the biggest group of all is the group that just says under religion that they are a none, N-O-N-E, none, not applicable. And wouldn't it be a wondrous thing if in the crazy world we live in right now, that we would see hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be wonderful. I'd love to see it. But it's hard to predict what's going to happen. It could go just the opposite direction. And really, our concern can't really be with what the trends are in the day and age we live in. Our concern really needs to be that we keep our eyes on the one that has called us. That the way, the truth, and the life, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, be what we live in no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. That we need to be these rock solid, steady people that reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in the day and age that we get to live in. Not people that are blown here and there by every wind of change that comes along. Let's focus in on verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from all of this. And instead, he's going to give a list of things for him to pursue. Now, all of this that he's talking about is in the two paragraphs we looked at before. We found out they talked about various things that can get our attention and can gobble up all our time. In that first paragraph, verses 3 through 5, talks about people who have an unhealthy interest in controversies. I think they're talking about the news, folks. Interest in controversies. If somebody was coming here from another planet and they would put on, you know, any one of our TV channels or radios, I think they would conclude that there is a lot of people in this day and age that have an unhealthy interest in controversies. It's the truth. I think that there's lots of folks that are very easily offended at every little thing. That when people say things, they pay attention to how they say them and when they say them and what they said and what they didn't say. And, you know, somehow they can twist that thing around and they can always end up being offended. It's the truth. And what happens? You spend tremendous time and energy, things that you can't get back, as you chase these situations around. There's a second warning in there for folks that fall in love with money and what money can get. And there's a reminder that everything that we have in life when it comes to things that money can buy are things that we only get to have for a time. You may have a deed to your house, but guess what? The day that the funeral home comes and picks up your body, that deed is going to be held by somebody else. In that office that you get to work out of, you worked your way up, so now your name's on the door, and you got the nice parking spot. It's only a matter of time before there's another name on the door and there's someone else parking in the parking spot. It's just the way life kind of works. Instead, we need to discover what real life is, and real life has nothing to do with things that you buy with money. Because real life is found in godliness and contentment. When we make our mind up that we want to be God's people and we want to do things God's way and we just want to live in that and we want to be happy and appreciative of the things that we have, a great peace comes over our lives. But you know, it's pretty easy to get spending time focusing on what you don't have. And if you don't watch yourself, you can start hungering and thirsting for something a little bit nicer, for something a little bit bigger, something a little bit better, something a little bit newer. And you can get to the point where you don't really appreciate what you really do have. And that's a shame. Having a heart, having eyes to see all the things around you that really are blessings, and then having a heart that can kind of push away the distractions and really appreciate what you have, that's a gift. Godliness with contentment is a gift. It's a gift you cannot buy. It's a gift that kind of comes for free when you orient yourself and look to the Lord. And you start seeing all the good things that he's given you. Godliness with contentment. Oh, it's great gain. Let's shift on to verse 11. Now, his call to Timothy is to not get caught up in all these silly things that folks so easily get caught up in. And instead, because here is a young minister who can have a big effect on a lot of people's lives, he says, instead of just getting on all these things that can waste all your time and energy, instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Now let's just stop on those and think for a second. He is calling us to pursue righteousness. So be active in our attempt to be a person that is a God person. We need to look in the mirror and we need to answer the question, what does it mean for me to be a Jesus person? And it's a question that we need to revisit because it affects how we interact with family members, how we interact with people we work with, how we interact with neighbors. And we need to pursue being a Jesus person. We need to pursue godliness. A godly person is a person who lives out a righteous life. A person who pursues faith. A person who pursues love. It would be kind of interesting to take each one of these things and say, I'm going to give a day to think about it and work on them. Like if you had a whole day to say, if I want to pursue being a more loving person, what would that mean as you go through the entire day? Because it might be easy for you to be loving when you're at home, but then you walk out the doors of your house. You have to drive somewhere. That can be temptation number one. And then you got to be around other people. That can be temptation number two. Pursue love. Pursue endurance. Endurance. Endurance is something that lasts. When other things quit, you don't. When other things wear out and are done, you don't. You're one that can be counted on. Oh, I thank God for my friends in life that are like the stable people you can count on. Oh, God, do I ever thank God for them. It's hard. I tell you, it's hard in the church. You want to know why? Because in the same way that restaurants come and go, churches come and go. I've seen a bunch of them come and go, but I've seen some of them ride it up and then ride it down. And then sometimes they'll get a new minister and ride it up again. I mean, it's hard to tell where they're going to go. I know some people that have gone to a lot of different churches. A lot of them come and they go. And with churches, I could go down through a list of churches that came and didn't make it. And it doesn't mean that they didn't have a godly minister. It just means that in the day and age we live in, a lot of people don't necessarily consider themselves deeply committed to any particular congregation. They got a preacher that they kind of they like, but then if there's another one that's teaching in a different way and they kind of like that style, they don't have a problem making a change with that. And there's nothing necessarily sinful about it. I mean, in your life, you may have a point and some other church has some program that really works for your children or you just feel like it's something you're supposed to do. I understand that. But I say, thank God that in the midst of all the change, I've got some of those people that are just super stable. Those people in my life I am so thankful for. And being a person that is a person of endurance, he's not talking about necessarily a commitment to like a congregation or something like that. He's talking about a commitment to faith. You know, being a person that is going to be a faithful Christian next month. That's going to be a faithful Christian that God can count on in January, in February, in March. What does that mean? Now you think about in a marriage. To be a person who's a good spouse, there's sometimes when that's easy and there's sometimes when it's hard and challenging. When things are going good and everybody's healthy, it's one thing. But what if somebody isn't healthy? Or what if somebody goes through a deep depression and you're married to them? Or they lose their job. You know, all of a sudden it goes from one thing to something different. You need to look deep within yourself because you realize that this is a time when that marriage commitment is going to be tried. And who I am as a person is going to be tried. Will I be a person that sticks with that promise that I made? Will I love that other person even if it seems like I'm not getting any love in return? When it comes to our Christianity, will we be someone who stands faithful as a Jesus follower even if it is absolutely unpopular? Will you stand faithful as a Jesus follower, even if it means that some people, when they discover your commitment to Christ, don't like you? Look at the last one, a commitment to gentleness. There's something about having peace in your heart that causes a calm to come over you. And godly peace and an aggressive nature don't tend to go together. Aggression and anger tend to go together, don't they? Pursuing gentleness. Verse 12, it goes on. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he says, take hold of the eternal life. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I was praying for our church and seeking the Lord's direction on what I should preach, the Lord brought this to my heart. And it's like, for so many of you, you are long-time solid Christians. I think about in the early church, and I think about some places around the world that we would normally consider sort of like the mission field. There are people that are involved in ministry leadership that don't have half the training that you have. There's some of you, you've heard many, many sermons, and you've probably been in many Bible studies and Sunday school classes. You've been under the teaching of solid people. There have been good books that have been put in your hands. You have been in services where you've learned things, important things, deep things. And you're important to the cause of Christ. But it would be so easy for good people to get distracted by the silliness that just wants to rob your time, rob your energy, and the call of God is to not let that happen, but instead keep busy about the things of the Lord, of growing your own spirit, of being the person that He's called you to be. Because He's going to use you. And all these other things are just things that Satan's got as a way of stealing your time, of stealing your personal sense of peace, so that you get sidelined. Because Satan does not want you sharing truth. And Satan doesn't want you living as an example. Satan wants you distracted and taken out of the fight. So we need to recognize that, and we need to make our mind up that we are going to pursue these things that matter to God. To keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Christ. And you know, there's going to come a point when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And when it comes, ba-boom, time's up. I've got this lady, and somehow I ended up mowing her lawn. And Christian used to mow her lawn. And then Christian grew up and grew out of lawn care. Jenny mowed it for a while. And both of them have retired from lawn care. And I dumped most of their customers. The Paynes got dumped first, and then the others I just didn't feel like doing. But I still have a couple lawns I cut because I take great joy. I love mowing the lawn. I know it sounds crazy, but I do. But this one lady moved away 2 years ago, and I still mow her lawn. I don't know how I got roped into that. Well, I never know when she's going to come back to check her house. And there's one day that I mowed the front and the sides, and she's got this hill that's like, oh! If I ever fell down, I'd roll a quarter of a mile and I'd hit the bottom of the hill. I mow her hill. And there was one time where I mowed the front and sides, and it was hot, and I'm just like, I can't do this. And I went home. And all night long, all I could think was, oh, what if she traveled from Alabama and came home? She'd go, oh, look, the front of the house looks so nice. Let me walk around and see how it looks. Oh, the side looks so nice. Oh, hayfield in the backyard. I'm paying Doug, and Doug's cheating me. It's like Doug's stealing from me. I'm like, rrr. So needless to say, I got up and rearranged my life. So first thing in the morning, I motor hill. So I'm ready for her return. In the same way, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us, says that there's going to come a time when, according to God's own word, that the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those who are still alive are going to be caught up to meet the Lord together in the air. And it says it's going to catch us like a thief in the night. It says it'll be like two people working in the field, and all of a sudden you look, and boom, one of them's gone, just like that. And two people laying in the bed. And all of a sudden, boom, one of them's gone, just like that. And we got some people say that, watch what's going on in the Middle East. Watch what's going on in Israel. These are the signs of the times. I don't know. I've studied the scriptures. I honestly don't know. But the Lord Jesus Christ says no one is going to know the day or the hour. But we need to be ready. And when the Lord returns, I do not want to find, I don't want him to find me having wasted all kinds of my personal energy stressing out about whatever the latest controversy of the day is. Because those things will come and go, and there will be a new controversy next week. There will be. In fact, I keep my little list here, prayer requests, stuff like that. I could write down, what's the latest stress of the week? I could probably think, and I could look every week and I could say, hey, guess what we were stressed out about 2 months ago? There's always going to be a new one. I don't want to be like that. I want to do just exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. I want to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith. I want to pursue love, endurance. I want to be asking, what does it mean to be that type of Christian? I want to be pursuing gentleness. And in order to be a gentle Christian, I need to be a Christian who's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ with every single part of my life. And I tell him about, I present my request to him so that his peace will come upon me, his peace that passeth understanding, and I will be able to rest at night. God will bring about these things in his own time. God, the blessed, the only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal. And you know, immortality is a gift he gives to us. But that gift is a gift. We only enjoy it as we're connected to him. And that promise of eternal life, you don't find it in the Old Testament. You find it in the New Testament, in Lord Jesus Christ. Immortality, life eternal. But it's only as we are connected to him. Him who lives in unapproachable light. But in that day when we enter that new city, he'll be there. But that we will be changed. And we will be able to look on him and see him as he is. Whom no one has seen or can see, but we will be able to. To him be honor and might forever and ever. Amen. So let me leave the sermon with this. Every single one of you, you are important to God. There are people around you that watch your life, and you matter. I got pulled aside one time. There was something going on with the O'Neill family, and Doug's mother wanted to talk to me. I didn't know what was going to come. She grabbed my hand, held me, and looked me in the eye, and she goes, you know, this is not what Doug was like when he was younger. And I was like going, wow, where's this going? She goes, God has made him the man that he is today. And she started talking about the effect that he has on other members of the family. And I'm like, woo, you go, Doug. I'm just telling you the way it is, bud. I've been pulled aside by people, and I've heard that. You know, your lives matter. And when you think about Satan, if he can take you out somehow, that's a win for him. And you got to realize he's going to try to take you out. So if something is offending you with a brother, you need to seriously ask the question, is this something that I should trifle with, or is this just like Satan trying to get us all riled up? He needs you. He needs us. God needs us. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Scott will come. Dear God, I thank you for these people. I love being around them. And I just pray, Lord, that we would stand strong for you. Help us, Lord, because we're just like everybody else. Help us to know what it means to be a part of the conversations that go on in our world and in our culture. But Heavenly Father, in all these things, help us to figure out how to be a godly person in the midst of it all. I know, Lord, you have not called us to come out of the world, but to be in the world like salt. You call on us, Lord, not to hide our candle under a bowl, but to put it on its shelf. So, Lord, we just say, put us where you need us and use us. And thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.